You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your favorite bookseller. Publishers Weekly calls Get Scrappy a helpful digital marketing Bible. You can read the first chapter, get special digital extras, and learn more now at GetScrappyBook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Jed Reckard. A consultant, speaker, and educator, Jed guides corporate teams through the quickly changing landscape of emerging marketing technologies. He teaches marketing at Meredith College's School of Business. Jed's clients include both startups and global brands such as Lenovo, eBay, Thomson Reuters, and Quintiles Transnational. He has worked with Toyota, Capital One, SanDisk, and others on influence marketing campaigns as well. Jed, welcome to On Brand.
Oh, thank you, Nick. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate you having me on.
And as you pointed out before we hit record, those that listened to the podcast and those that attended the Social Brand Forum this past fall will no doubt remember you talking about Snapchat for Business. And you were talking about a few of the social sound bites, even leading up to this very episode, and the podcast feed there have focused on some of the changes at play and how that's impacting Snapchat. So I would say even kind of a state of the union on where we're at for Snapchat for Business, I'd say has probably changed since you spoke at the Social Brand Forum. So if this isn't the most long, convoluted question, I don't know what is, but where are we at with Snapchat
for Business? You're absolutely right. There's been a bunch of changes, and it was a real privilege to be able to speak at Social Brand Forum with you and Jay Baer, Joe Polizzi. Man, that was a fantastic event. And if your listeners haven't been to the Social Brand Forum, they need to sign up because that was a great, great time. And we did touch base on a bunch of things happening at Snapchat back then in the fall, but now they're a public company. They've IPO'd, and it's a whole new world for Snapchat. And with recent events happening over on the Instagram platform, there's been a lot of turmoil in the space. So let's discuss. Let's hit a few of these and see, uncover what's going on in the Snap space. So the big thing is Snapchat's competitor Instagram releasing stories very similar to the Snap stories, and we weren't sure what was going to happen there. But now the data are in. In fact, you on this very podcast were recounting some of the data from last year and in the third quarter or fourth quarter last year, and Instagram is crushing it with the stories. In fact, you mentioned they had more daily story viewers on Instagram than our entire audience on Snapchat. Yeah. So I think that was like over 150 million. So that is not a good thing for Snap and its IPO. However, and I mentioned this at Social Brand Forum, Snapchat is focused. They are very focused, and they are really driven on one thing, being an entertainment medium, being a video platform for millennials and that younger age group. We call them millennials today, perhaps, but I don't think Snapchat is focused on that generation of people, but more the age group of 18 to 34 or 18 to 28 or however you want to break it down. That's the age group they're focused on. And people will come into Snap and maybe grow up and leave Snap. But that is their core focus. You can tell by going to their discoveries section of their app, and you can see exactly who they're targeting by their ads. Their ads are bold and don't hold back in terms of which audience they're targeting. And I don't see any let up in the usage in that demographic. So I would agree that the overall, if you look at the big picture, yeah, I think some non-core Snapchat audiences came to the platform, and then Instagram kind of plucked them back. But the core millennials there are still as hot as ever on the platform. It's really one of the few places you can reach a huge number of people in that demographic, in that age group. And advertisers continue to pony up and put the dollars down for those ads.
So from the struggling marketer, brand builder out there who's trying to keep up with everything, which is increasingly challenging, and Snapchat kind of represented this mystery network that I can't tell you how many times I heard from clients, from others that I'm talking to, of just the kind of almost felt like peer pressure would be pressure coming from someone else, but it was like social network pressure because it's like, we've got to be doing something with Snapchat. But now with Instagram stories, that already complicated question seems like it could be harder. So if a brand is looking at both, I mean, really talking about probably story-based media on Snapchat versus Instagram, is it as simple as saying, it's about the demographics. It's about the age of who our customers, who our community is.
Now, normally, I'd like to kind of pick that apart and not say it's that simple and give you a more complex answer. But the reality is, it is just that simple. And when I talk to people who are in that audience, who have these small, medium businesses that don't have ad budgets the size of a Pepsi or Coca-Cola, you have got to have a big chunk of your business focused on the millennial age group or even younger if this is a platform you want to start dedicating resources to. And just most of the companies that I've seen and spoken with, unless they're a real niche market selling to that younger audience, the value proposition just isn't there because it's a newer platform for these companies, and putting together, discovering new content to put out there and new processes and how you're going to integrate it, it just doesn't add up. So the ROI isn't there, and I don't see a lot of adoption by those smaller businesses. You can do content on your own Snap channel or create your company's Snap channel and hand that off to some enthusiastic employees who want to add some content there. And that may be a good channel for you to communicate with that portion of your customer base. But the ROI is not there for dedicating resources to that channel right now. And they're overwhelmed. We're all overwhelmed by Instagram, by the new Facebook features. Did you know that Facebook Stories came out today? So now Facebook Stories is in my app now. So I can do stories on Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook. It's overwhelming. And I think that all of this rush to video over the last couple of years has really overwhelmed marketers. And I wholeheartedly say, yes, it's that simple. If that's not a large portion of your customer base, do a pass and move on to where you can focus where your customers are at.
Well, in my fairly limited sample size, when Instagram stories came out last late summer, I was teaching undergrads and was talking about this, and I love Instagram. And I'm like, this is great. I can use, I will probably create more stories now because I just was not going to Snapchat as much. They all overwhelmingly almost ran me out of the classroom on some sort of a pike. It was they were revolting en masse and were turned off by this copycat feature. And beyond the severity of the response that I was unprepared for, it seems like they had a real brand loyalty to Snapchat. This was a very personal network for them that they were connected with in a very interesting way. That again, this is not quantitative research, but my own observation there was that there was, beyond age, there was, or maybe because of age, there's a very, very different kind of connection that resides there.
Well, Snap was the platform that their parents weren't on, right? And then it really kind of blew up. There's a lot of stuff in the media. Older demographics were giving it a try. And then Instagram pulled that older demographic, so literally pulled their parents back off of Snapchat. And, really, it was – I think long-term this could probably be a good thing for Snapchat because the kids have their own platform again and they don't have to worry about their parents popping in and looking at their stories. So this may be a really good thing in the long run. I teach a class too, and my students – same way when Instagram made that announcement, I had a little different towards the end of the semester. I regularly poll my students to see what they're doing on social, and towards the end of the semester, a lot of them admittedly had gone back to Instagram as being one of their favorite apps, but still not using the stories. And they don't really use public stories that much on Snapchat either. At least my class didn't. So that's a very small sample of 27 young students. But they use Snap every day, multiple times a day, to send messages to one another like you would an instant messenger app or in lieu of text messaging.
Well, I do think that that's interesting in spite of our admitted focus group sample size shortcomings. In thinking about this, though, you mentioned Facebook coming out with stories today. We're recording this on Friday, February 17th here. And I have not had a chance to look at that, but I'm also thinking as we wax philosophical on the difference of Snap stories versus Instagram stories versus Facebook stories, what's common there is I've said the word story three times. Is this a form of media? I mean, it's interesting because it's like you've got video, you've got blog posts. I mean, a blog post is really, chronologically ordered, posted content, text-based content on a feed. A podcast is an audio subset of that. A story really seems like it is a, if we were really going to get boring and professorial as people like you and I are wont to do, is it just a collection of real-time videos and photos with text markup? I mean, what are...
Well, no, it is. You hit it on the head when you started. It is a new form of media because I would have said a year ago, oh, this is just video that the app conveniently chops up into digestible chunks for you. But now that's not the case. Many people do much, much more than video or even photos, but they will take a picture of just a white background or a colored background and then build their own story using the tools that these apps are giving you now to draw, to put emojis on, to put stickers on. Snapchat now lets you take a picture, highlight an area of that picture that you want to use as a sticker, save it, and you can use that. So you can take a picture of yourself, highlight, making a funny face, highlight your face, create a sticker, and now you can use it in other stories as a sticker. I mean, it's incredible the things that they've come up with. And I've looked on the Snapchat website at their job postings, and over a year ago, I started seeing job postings for augmented reality developers, for virtual reality developers. And it is going to be really, really fun to see what they come up with. And Facebook's doing the exact same thing with Instagram and Facebook. So all these platforms are jumping on this new media format called Stories, and it's going to be big, and it's going to continue to be big.
Well, and I think the other kind of clunky bit in all of that is in media and communications and branding and marketing, we kind of have a long history of bastardizing the phrase storytelling. We're telling stories, but it seems like it's being pulled into what you've just been talking about, a very specific form of media. So
absolutely. And the reason why it's going over so well, and the reason why we kind of are intrigued by it, because if we zoom out to the big picture and we think about, how does a brand communicate itself to customers and prospects and people? Stories is a great way to do that, but traditionally you'd have to be the content creator. The brand would go to an agency and say, hey, get us some great branding campaigns, and the agency would come up with a story, storyboard it, do video or what have you and whatnot. And now their very own customers are doing this, sometimes for them for free. Other times they use what we call, user-generated content campaigns to encourage or reward customers for doing that, and sometimes through influencer marketing campaigns. But no longer is the agency the only one creating these stories.
And I think it's interesting because at the risk of sounding like the oversimplification hour here, we have these students of ours who are demographically a fit for this. They are, we're here overthinking, oh, what's in a story? And they just know how to navigate this very new media format. And where I was going with oversimplification is it enough to point our graduates to brands? Because I feel like in my, my gut tells me that they have skills that are needed. But
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I get that all the time from my clients. How do we hire people who have these skills? And, in the early days, people thought it was simple as, oh, just hire a millennial. They know how to do it. And that's not true. That's not the case at all. And so much of my time in my speaking events is spent speaking either at other colleges and universities or on behalf of employers to educate and train people on using these skills that they've acquired just by growing up millennial, right? And growing up in a digital era and figuring out, okay, now I know how to do Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram, but how do we do that to communicate on behalf of a company or a brand? How do we do that to meet specific marketing objectives in business? And that's a whole nother level. And that's something there's just a real gap in the marketplace in terms of finding people who can execute on that.
So as a consultant and educator, I mean, how can we close up that gap? You know, what is needed to navigate this new and very tricky media format, regardless of...
To pick up the phone and call me and have me come out to your company and train your folks. But no, literally, that's, you know, we need... And the institutions are picking up on that and hiring folks to fill that gap and to start figuring out. I do a training program with college professors to train them on how can you integrate this social media, this social communications piece into your existing curriculum, because they're not creating a new – you're not going to take math, English, and social media. I mean, this is just another form of communications, but it needs to be taught beyond just a communications course, because it impacts so many areas of our world today. And so we need to encourage our educational institutions to start adopting more subject matter experts who can inject this into the curriculum to show people how they can communicate better using digital mediums, how companies are leveraging this form of communication to grow their businesses. And I think there's people out there, there's a lot of people who are doing what I'm doing, but there just needs to be a little bit more adoption on the education side. I think corporate gets it. They're looking for folks like us who can help them bring their people up to speed. But just because you can make a Facebook post does not mean you're a marketer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like
a huge gap there.
Well, and that's why I think too, it's something that you touched on, that the curricular answer isn't necessarily a course about, well, whether it's making a Facebook post or you know, kind of a paint by numbers approach to Snapchat. I think that, you know, there is a broader focus on digital storytelling that we need to understand, and we need to get better at kind of slicing and dicing our messaging into some of these newer formats. Now, that's also something that you talk about a lot more as well.
Yeah, I have put together a for lack of a better word, a keynote address. Really, I get a lot of requests from companies and organizations. Can you come talk about social media? And that's such a broad subject. That's so huge. Like, okay, great. There's so many ways that can touch a business or a person. Let's focus it down. And when I have conversations with clients about this broad category of social media, it inevitably winds down to this is another customer touch point. It's another way to engage with our customers. And it's really all about a new way of communicating. So I try and help companies and organizations kind of bridge that paradigm shift between traditional communications, writing letters, picking up the phone, meeting in person, and this new era of digital relationships, having long-term extended and sometimes very tight, close relationships with people that you'll never meet, that you only maintain a digital relationship with. And that it's difficult to do without understanding what's all involved in what makes a relationship work, in particularly when you're not able to have physical touch points with that person. And so that's a really important change in the way that businesses communicate with customers and the way with employees communicate with one another. I work in a huge global organization that I work with people in China and in the UK and in Germany every day, and I've got to be able to maintain those working relationships, build trust with those people so that we can achieve our objectives. And that's a lot of work, and you got to really be able to understand how to maintain those relationships in a really mutually beneficial way. And I think digital relationships are going to be more and more meaningful in terms of how they impact how a business can grow and succeed in this new age of communications.
Well, absolutely. And I think that so many times, you know, you get asked things on the front end social media how-to side, and a lot of times it's a symptom of something bigger, whether that's messaging, whether that's communications, whether that's branding, something bigger that needs to be addressed behind the scenes as well that's going to impact everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you summarized it well there, Dick. And I love the branding aspect of it. This is right in your wheelhouse in terms of how do you communicate the brand message? How do you share what that brand is all about? And, you know, I've heard you say it before. It's about those touch points, those times you engage with the customer. And many times it's when you answer the phone and they call, right? And nowadays it's when they tweet you about an experience, and do you answer or do you not answer, right? So you tweet out a positive or negative experience on Twitter. If that brand doesn't answer you back, that's you're sending a message. Whether you know it or not, you've sent your customer a message by not responding. So you've got to figure this out if you want to continue to communicate your brand across these channels and maintain these touch points with your customers. It's critical.
Absolutely. And I think today we're overwhelmed by all of these touch points, but we have to have find a way to make sure that we have a meaningful presence ready for everybody where they're at as well.
It's not that hard. I mean, it's frustrating because there are so many platforms, but it's not that hard to have somebody set up a listening tool. There's plenty of them out there. I don't want to get down into the tools of social media in this talk, but there's plenty out there. You can sign up for alerts to get alerted when somebody tweets your brand, or even when somebody posts something on Facebook and mentions your brand. There's lots of tools out there that make that easier. You just got to leverage those tools and have a resource who's capable of operating those tools so that they can respond to these customers when they're out there talking about your brand.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of alerts, I am reminded that we are close to the end of our time together. And I always ask, but usually, apologies to Jed, I usually give a warning prior to recording that I will be asking for a brand that has made you smile recently. So I should have the Jeopardy music queued up so I could have given you the time that I denied you by forgetting to remind you
before we
hit record. But Jed, do you have an example of a brand that has made you smile recently?
Oh my gosh, I've got three or four that just jumped to the top of my head, but I'll keep it short and tell you that Applebee's is a restaurant that I go to from time to time. And boy, do they just out of the blue will completely make me smile by tweeting me when they I don't know how they know. Maybe they're watching my stalking me on Twitter or something. But went out to dinner at Applebee's and the next day got a tweet from them. Hey, how was dinner? Did you get, you know, I forget what they asked. Did you get the chocolate, you know, they have a huge chocolate, I don't know what it is, chocolate pie dessert. I like the churro s'mores myself. It's an appetizer. It's delicious. And I've shared that on Twitter once before, and they engage with me, and if I ever mention them, they instantly respond back and with something fun and upbeat, and always makes me smile. So this Applebee's is fantastic on Twitter. I don't want to limit to them. I want to give props to American Airlines, who is always responding Toyota has done a great job, and I've been fortunate to work with them on some branding efforts and some promotion efforts. And just, there's lots and lots of brands doing it right, more and more every day. So if you're not out there doing this, you need to make a note and call Nick and get a game plan together, because it really makes a difference. It really turns customers into advocates and fans.
Awesome. Well, you are too kind, and for being put on the spot. You not only had one brand that made you smile, you had about three in there. So, well.
Oh, yeah. Go to my Twitter feed. It's at Jed Record. And scroll up. You'll see American Airlines sending me a nice little tweet, and Applebee's, and a number of other brands. Because these are conversations that are fun to have, and they're out there willing to chat with you. So give it a try yourself. To tweet out to Applebee's and tell them Jed said to try the churro s'mores, and see how fast it takes them to tweet back to you.
Well, that is great, and it's provided me with yet another segue, as you mentioned, finding you on Twitter. Jed, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
JedRecord.com. So it's RECORD. My first name is JED. Put that into Google, and pretty much everything pops up. It will get you to me somehow.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Jed, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. What a privilege.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. Recently, Jasko Besick gave us a shout on Twitter for our episode on Brand Voice featuring Brad Flowers. Thanks for listening, Jasko. And a reminder, if you like something on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. Last but not least, you can find links to everything we talked about at BrandDrivenDigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes and Stitcher. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Remember, On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Order now at Amazon and check out GetScrappyBook.com for special offers and extras. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.